Well, we're looking at another story of how Jesus did what he did this morning, and obviously it comes from our Luke reading. And as we look through this story, it's easy for us to put ourselves in judgment on this synagogue ruler, and it makes sense, because you look at it, and this is where the sermon title comes from. You have this woman who has been bent over for 18 years, and is released from this physical infirmity, which had a spiritual connection as well, even though it was on the Sabbath, and the synagogue ruler complained. He was even indignant. And so the question we ask is, who would think healing is wrong? And our answer, of course, is no one. That's a foolish kind of thing. How could you think healing is wrong? But if we're going to put ourselves in judgment over this synagogue ruler, I think it behooves us to spend at least a little bit of time looking at ourselves to see if perhaps, just perhaps, we could fall into something similar. Now, I hasten to add, as I did at Knox, that I have no particular sense that we have an issue at St. Mark's that needs to be addressed. Okay? I'm talking about the larger picture of the church, which includes us. We are not immune to this, to any of these issues, of course, but just so you know, don't be looking around going, oh, I wonder if it's that person, because I have no person in mind. But I look at this and I think, if I'm going to look down on a synagogue ruler, I need to understand what's actually going on here and see if there's any application to me. Short answer is, yes, there is application to me. And where it comes from is what's happening here. There is no indication in this passage, and in any of these passages really, where Jesus is addressing various synagogue rulers, Pharisees and such, there's no indication that they have cynically come to this position. It may have arisen from lots of different things. Jesus frequently speaks quite strongly to them in how foolish they are. But let's not forget that this prohibition in particular didn't come from some human being's idea of how to behave. Instead, it comes from the actual scripture, from Old Testament law. The difficulty is that this synagogue ruler misses the point of the law itself. Because what the synagogue ruler is saying is, look, Scripture tells us that we have 6 whole days to do everything we need to do, but we don't work on the Sabbath because the Sabbath is set aside to God. He's not saying we decided that you should be miserable one day a week or anything like that. He's saying this is where it comes from. Keep the Sabbath holy. And here you are working on the Sabbath. This just doesn't seem right. And what Jesus does is he says, wait a second. If you want to obey the law to that extent, you're hypocrites. Because if you realize that your donkey needs water, your ox needs food, whatever it is, you don't simply wave your hand at the barn and say, well, it's the Sabbath, too bad for you. No, you give water, you give food. Yes, you're working, but you're also caring for the creation. You're taking responsibility for what you've been given stewardship to. You somehow think that that is fundamentally different than relieving the distress of a human being. You've missed the point. You're a hypocrite if that's what you're going to do. I remember long ago when Sunday shopping was first coming in, my dad tells a story of someone came to the pastoral staff at our church. We had a large church when I grew up in, and it was sort of influential in things. And they said, well, we want to have a survey, no Sunday shopping. And the senior pastor said, sure, I'm happy to sign that. How about you? Do you ever go to a restaurant on Sunday? Do you ever buy milk on Sunday? Do you buy gas on Sunday? And if you don't do any of those things, as he didn't, he was an amazingly disciplined person in lots of ways, said, I'll sign this because I don't do any of those things. How about you? And then the conversation turned to other things. Because it's one of those things. Wait a second, you can't do that any more than the synagogue ruler can say, don't do this, while at the same time taking care of animals, which are a valued part of creation, but are significantly less valued than human beings. And so you may be thinking, well, what about this? Sunday shopping is over. None of us have oxen or donkeys. And for that matter, we're not telling Jesus to stop healing people. So what? Well, what is it that we have that might possibly be considered a healing on the wrong day? Well, and I was thinking about this, and I was sort of struggling around for a particular, or for a useful illustration of this. And what I did is I went back to my youth. And I think this is a shared experience for many of you. When I was a kid, I was just coming into the transition of where children looked like little adults at church and adults looked like they worked in a bank. And you all remember those days, at least I think you might not, you're too young. But I think the rest of us remember all these days. And I can clearly remember getting up on Sunday morning, putting on this little suit. I wore a tie. I mean, it was a clip-on tie at first, but later on it became a real tie. We dressed up formally for church. And we did this, at least at one point. I wasn't there for this part because that was long, long ago. We dressed up this way. We dressed up from our usual run-of-the-mill weekday clothes out of respect, out of a sign that this is a different kind of place. And that was terrific. The problem is that not everybody is comfortable in a suit. I am. I become so. When I worked in the suit and tie world, I still went to church, so I wore a suit 6 days a week. I used to tell people I could play basketball in a suit if I had to. You know, I only have to change my shoes. That's not the norm. It wasn't the norm then, and it certainly isn't now. But there was this transition point somewhere in there. I remember when we'd go on vacation, we tended to go camping. We had four kids and no money, so you know, we'd borrow a tent trailer from somebody, and we'd go camping. And then on Sundays, we went to church, and my parents would select a church that they thought would probably fit who we were and what we needed. And my parents being who they were, it was usually pastored by a friend of theirs that they'd known in college or they'd something like that. And we'd go to church, and we'd go to church wearing shorts. Oh, or jeans, imagine. And it was okay because we were from out of town, because we didn't pack suits to go camping and nobody expected us to. But there came a time when people started showing up in church in shorts when they hadn't been camping. And when kids were no longer expected to dress like little adults in a way that they never did anywhere else. And some people thought that was as bad as healing on the Sabbath. Said, these people are being disrespectful. And I suppose some were. I'm sure there are some people who are pulling the nose of someone in the church, a parent or whatever, by wearing jeans to church or whatever it might be. But I wonder, how many parents and caregivers of children looked at this and said, wait a second. We're asking our kids to go to something, and I'm thinking sort of the 10 and under set in particular. We're asking our kids to go to church and do something they never do, which is sit and listen to somebody talking for as long as a sermon is. And back then, sermons were much longer than they are now. Well, kids didn't do that at school. They didn't have lectures in grade 4. They did things, and they were active and all of that. So we're putting our children in a completely foreign situation. And when you look at it from the perspective of an anthropologist, you'll see how strange it is compared to the rest of our lives. And so we're going to put them in this strange place, make them sit in uncomfortable seats for most of them, and wear uncomfortable clothes, and then expect them to pay attention. That's unreasonable. There was a time when it might have been reasonable, before I was even born, where children just, that was the way it was, and I'm okay with that. But culture changes. And of things that are unimportant, oh, Paul talks about clothing, and Jesus talks about clothing, and yes, you have to wear it, but it's in and of itself not important. What's going on inside is important, and all of these other things. And we had this transition point where I suspect a number of parents went, wait a second, if I want my kid to sit still, the least I can do is put them in something that doesn't scratch them. I had a jacket when I was a kid that somehow was scratchy on the inside. Like, how does a jacket do that? But I had one. And other people have the same kind of thing. We're going to do your collar up. We're going to do up this top button. Well, I didn't even know I had a top button when I was that age. And I think some parents said, look, this is tough enough already. Let's let the kids be physically comfortable as possible so they can pay attention to what's happening rather than these weird clothes they're wearing. And of course, all of us as kids, we got used to it after a time, and it was fine, and we played after church and before church in our little suits and our dresses and all that. But I wonder sometimes what Jesus would have thought of that. Would he have looked at this requirement that we dress in a way that's foreign to the rest of our lives as much the same as this, saying, "You hypocrites, you don't make your kids dress like that to go to school to learn. Why are you making them dress like that to come here to learn?" And we changed. It was a tough transition for any of you who lived through it. When people started showing up, women not wearing dresses, men not wearing ties, and then not wearing jackets, and then not wearing pants, wearing shorts instead. And look at us, the church was destroyed in every... Oh no, it wasn't. The church is just fine. In many ways, the church is even better. And I bring that up as an illustration of the things that we might hold on to as critically important that turn out to be not so important after all. It's important to honor the Sabbath. It was then and it is now. But was the importance of the Sabbath of such importance that a woman should be denied healing? Jesus says no. Is the importance of a church service so significant that it's important to be uncomfortable rather than comfortable when you come here? Well, I'd say no. I have nothing against dressing up. I have nothing against people wearing whatever they're comfortable with. I've known lots of people who well into retirement, still dress like this for church because that's what they're comfortable in. And that's wonderful. But most people aren't. And the fact that the church now has room for people to wear more or less whatever they want to come to church, I think is a sign of real strength. Because it says, what we're critically concerned about isn't what you look like, but who you are. But the only way we're going to be able to make these transitions, and I'm sure by now all of you are thinking of some of these things, maybe this is one that I'm holding on to too tightly. You know, the only thing that will save us from that is humility. Humility gets a bad rap because we think humility, sort of like we think of meekness, it equals doormat. Well, humility doesn't mean that at all. Humility says that I don't know everything. That what I interpret as proper behavior might just be comfortable for me. Humility says that some of my deep-seated beliefs might actually be, there's no other word for it. They might just be prejudices. That I think that we need to sing this kind of music because every other kind of music is wrong, whatever that is. Humility says I'm willing to listen to the people around me and supremely to the Holy Spirit within me, leading me to new understandings of things. Jesus does not say the Sabbath is irrelevant in this passage. He does not say that every day is identical. What he says is the Sabbath has room for compassion, for care. In other places we read that the Sabbath was created for people, not people for the Sabbath. Where else can we see these things that we look at and say, well, that can never happen? And that doesn't mean that there are no absolutes or anything of that nature. This is not a call to some kind of self-directed relativism where whatever we think is fine, because that's not the case. There are many things that are wrong. But there are also many things that we just don't like that we say are wrong. And sometimes it's hard for us, it's honestly difficult for us to see the difference between the two. And sometimes when it's pointed out to us, well, when Jesus said this, all his opponents were humiliated. People were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. If we hold on to what we think with our hands as tight as possible, when it's demonstrated that what we think might need some adjustment, that's when humiliation comes in. When we hold on to what we believe and what we think with a sense of humility, when we hold on to them firmly but still lightly, when new information, when a new understanding of God comes, it's a lot easier for us to let go. And while it might be a jolt the first few times you see people wearing shorts to church, or whatever it might be, we'll just use that one because it's safely in the past. It might be a jolt for you, but because you held on to that notion of what was right and what was proper lightly, when you let go of it, it doesn't hurt your fingers. It doesn't humiliate you. You might be a little chagrined. It might be a challenge. You suddenly start going to a church where you like everything, but they sing hymns. It's a bit of a jolt, but you're still there. Or you go to a church where they have an overhead projector and they don't even have hymn books. Because that's another one from my past. And it's a bit of a jolt, but the rest of it covers that over. And you realize that holding on to this is how you sing in church is something we need to hold on to lightly. That doesn't mean we let go of the fact that church is a place where we come to worship the living God. That's its purpose. We don't let go of the fact that we want to go to a church that takes Scripture really seriously and involves it in all the things that we do. But maybe we will let go of the translation that we think is the best. Or maybe we even realize that lay people can read Scripture too. Because that's been a challenge for some. There are all of these things that we got through. And what do we have now? We have the Church of Christ continuing to do what it's been called to do from the beginning of time, where people come to church, come into community, to become the people they were created to be. Because that's why we're here. We're here to worship God, to see who we are in relationship to the Creator of everything, to be empowered to go out and do those things that only we can do through the spiritual gifts that we've been given and the context we're in. Those are all the things that are important. How we dress to do them is not that big a thing. So I don't know what, if anything, you're thinking of now when you think of what might I have. But whatever it is, I encourage you to hold on to it. But hold on to it lightly. I'm not calling you to just let go of everything you think is important any more than Jesus is. I'm just saying hold on to it lightly, with humility, being open to new ways of doing the same thing, or new methods to accomplish the same ends. Because that's what we're here for. We're here to be part of God's program for the earth. Each of us has our own part to play that only we can do. And that's what we focus on. If we focus on that, then we'll never think that healing is wrong, or what people wear is wrong, or how someone else worships is wrong. Because we'll all be moving in the same direction to the same goal, bringing glory to God in this world in preparation for the world to come. Amen.